So let me mention this. Planning on a week from Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday evening, we're going to start our door-to-door on the Wednesday evening. We're going to do that for several times on Wednesday evenings, according to the schedule. The first Wednesday, unless it's raining, if it's inclement weather, we probably won't. We won't. If it's raining, we don't want to be standing on the front porch and then opening the door and getting them wet and them inviting us in and all that kind of thing. So we'll be logical on that. But unless it's inclement weather, we'll do it every Wednesday. And I believe it's sub sandwiches. Is that right? I don't remember. I think it's sub sandwiches and salad that night, I think. I don't have it in front of me. But we'll mention that a little bit later. Now, if there is a lady who would like to assist in that, or a gentleman who'd like to help in the preparation of any of the meals, if you want to just take 1 week out of the month, and it's a 4 or 5 week rotation, if you just want to take the night that we have New York strip and baked potato and salad, well, we probably aren't going to have any nights like that unless you decide you want to do that. But if you want to do that, just let me know, and that will be a help and a blessing. All right. Well, I think we finished with these. And so if not, if you have any questions about it, we may not have gotten to the last page, but we're going to cover a number of those things in what we're going to do tonight. Anyway, I believe we did. Okay, so here's what I'd like to do. Most of you still have, maybe you still have the full pages. Do you have that with you? All right. I know there were some extras if you don't have it and would like to have it. Are there any back there, Brother Mintz? He does have them. Okay. If you need, it's 2 pages. If you'll just raise your hand, Brother Mintz, or... He doesn't have any. That's probably because I probably picked them up. If you would like to go to my office and get one, all right. Well, we'll just go over it and we'll take care of it that way. And it's just really some practical things. So I think Brother Allen looks like he's on his way to go make some copies, perhaps, or look on the back table. Are there any back there?
That's the yellow sheet.
That's fine. Yeah, that's the yellow sheet will do just fine, I believe. Actually, is that the one that's talking about the weeks? Okay, that's the wrong one then. Okay, thank you for trying, brother.
Well, it is subs and sandwiches.
I'm sorry?
It is subs and sandwiches.
It is, good. At least we got that settled. All right. It wasn't New York strip. All right. All right. So we do have the sandwiches coming a week from Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but Wednesday week, and we'll get that started. So let's just go through this kind of quickly because I want to just do a demonstration tonight of how to lead someone to Christ. And we'll do it again probably next Wednesday or next Sunday night and go at it from that direction. Okay, so number one, prior to beginning a neighborhood, this is going out 2 by 2, even as the Lord sent his disciples out 2 by 2. All right, beginning a neighborhood, dedicate that area to the Lord and ask for wisdom and leadership. Okay, so before you go, and a lot of times we'll meet here, and when we have the meal, the prayer for the meal, we'll also ask God's blessing. But when you go out, and if you're a single, and we don't want you to go by yourself, and so we'll send someone with you, and we'll have a sign-up sheet, Lord willing, next Sunday night or Wednesday night, we'll have a sign-up sheet for everyone who's planning on going Wednesday, whether you want the meal or do not want the meal, we'll have a sign-up for both. And if you are, maybe your spouse can't go, but you want to go, maybe you're a single and want to go as a single, then we'll line you up with someone else who's been before. And so we'll do that coming up. But before you as a team go out, we'll do it collectively for those who are there at the time to start the meal. But then when you and your partner, let's say it's Becky and myself, as she and I go out, we'll have another prayer just about us. And say, Lord, give us the wisdom. We don't know how many are going to be at home, whether it be 1 or 10. We don't know. And we have about an hour and a half or an hour to go door to door. So, Lord, help the ones to be at home especially that you know are looking for you. And so, Lord, we're going to pray about that. And then we'll leave a little gospel track. And in days to come, we'll have a door hanger for the ones who are not at home so that they know that we've been there and we can go back at a later time. All right, so number two. Prior to beginning the first house or individual, and that would be like downtown, determine who will be the primary speaker. So generally speaking, it's been found to be effective. In every soul-winning conference, I've been in a bunch of them, as well as participating in soul-winning for many, many years, that it is usually most effective if you only have one to do the speaking. So just to avoid confusion, so that the individual who's hearing, now, it may be that the one who's doing the listening really has the answers, and we're going to get to that here in just a second, or has something to put in. But just pray, if you're the one who is the one that is listening, just pray that the Lord will give the one who's doing the speaking the wisdom to do that. Now, if you're with someone and you're the one who is assigned, maybe you're altering houses, like Becky and I, when she and I go together, if a lady answers the door, then she will usually do the talking and I'll do the praying. Or the, you know, if there's children around, I'll try to goof off with the kids. I love that anyway. But anyway, she'll do the speaking and I'll do the praying. Or if there's a gentleman that answers the door, generally speaking, I'll do the speaking and she'll do the praying and the taking care of anything that comes up. However, like with Becky and myself, I know she has a special just insight into different things. And so as I'm witnessing to someone and he says, well, what does this have to do with, and he may mention something that I know Becky knows a lot about and I don't know much about it at all. I say, you know what, my wife just really, she's done a study of that as a matter of fact. And Becky, what do you know what he's talking about there? And do you know what the Bible says about that? Okay, and so for just a brief period of time, she'll give a parenthetical thought to answer the question. Now, we're going to deal with questions and answers here in a moment, but sometimes there's rare exceptions, and I would make them rare exceptions, to have more than one speak. You may be saying the same exact thing as the person who was going to speak. You just have something to add to it, but what that does is it changes the line of thought. The thing that the one that's doing the speaking, the Holy Spirit's already leading in going in a certain direction. Now, if that person's kind of floundering and they kind of look at you like, help, all right, then that's okay to go ahead and say, would you like me to, or maybe this individual who's doing the speaking says, Brother Allen, maybe let's say Allen and Brother Nels is witnessing together. They're together. And Brother Allen's a little shaky on it, and he's starting to just can't really put two words together. Sometimes it happens when you get nervous, and so he looks at Brother Nels and say, "Brother Nels, I'm getting a little shaky here. Would you mind going ahead? Or you don't have to excuse it, but just look at him, and he'll know what that look means. Like help." And so then Brother Nels can say, "You know what, Brother? What this gentleman, Brother Allen, is telling you is exactly right. Let me tell you what God's done for me." And then just kind of make a transition, not to hand it back over then to Brother Allen, because then you've had a permanent transition to the one doing the speaking. Does that make sense at all? So there's been some back and forth and different ones trying it different ways. But I found, and many where I've gone to conferences and all of that, had classes and so forth, but that's neither here nor there. In just personal history, it's far better if you just have one speaker and the other one just makes it a matter of prayer. And even if it's burning in you to say something, just kind of extinguish that just a little bit, unless you're asked for help. And that way there's a continuity of thought. Because if you introduce that thought, then the one who's laid the foundation for where he was headed just hasn't got there, or she's headed, then they've got to go back. And if it's a different foundation, if it's a different line of thought, that's going to take the listener in a different direction, a good direction, no doubt about it, but a different direction than what's already been laid, then this person, once that person gives what they're going to say, they get quiet. This person's got to do a change and do a walk around, or has got to back up and say, well, that was right, and here's the reason that was right, or continues on. Okay, does that make sense? So enough of that. Let's go to number three. Not hard to understand. It just says, be happy in the Lord. Be happy in the Lord. Now, your big toe may be hurting, okay? And maybe you have arthritis and you're going downhill, which happens in this area. And I know in Asheville, Everything's on a hill in Asheville. I mean, if you drop a toothpick, it's going to travel about 6 feet before you get it again. So people with arthritis or any kind of a mobility challenge that are determined, they're going to go out. The Bible says, go you into all the world, highways and hedges, and I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. The Lord will take care of me. I've been with people like that, and I admire them. I'm not saying that they would be wrong in staying home, but I'm just saying this, that sometimes you may have a headache or something like that, and that's where you're having a partner. Maybe you can just kind of lean on that partner and just say, listen, I really don't feel well. I want to be here, but I've got a headache, or my rheumatiz is acting up, or whatever it is. And then you just be happy in the Lord. It may be that you have more month at the end of the money than more money at the end, than more money. You have more a month at the end of the money than having more money at the end of the month. I'll get it out. And so that's going to weigh on you when you go out. Whatever the devil can throw, whatever your flesh can throw at you to make you afraid or distracted or anything else, you can just count on it. That's why you pray. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And here's what I have to do, because I've mentioned it before. Whenever I go out, I'm generally scared for about the first three houses. I can think of 40, 11 good reasons why I ought to be doing something else. Not the right reasons, but good reasons. Okay? Well, I could be doing this. I could be studying the Bible. I could be doing this. This is a time when I need to go. I have an appointment every morning with the Lord. I struggle with getting up and having my time with the Lord for a long, long time. Maybe you never have. But the Bible says early in the morning. And I'm not an early morning person. I'm a late night person. I can stay up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and love it. Just love it. But then I don't want to get up in the morning either. You know, I want to sleep in a while. But I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to ask you to give me an appointment. I think I've already said that, so we're not teaching that tonight. But maybe you have that challenge as well. And I said, Lord, just give me an appointment, and you put it kind of like a pill going down the throat that doesn't go all the way down, won't come up and won't go down, just sticks there. Lord, give me a time that I can't get away from, whether I love it or I don't. Just put it in there and let it stay on my heart and my mind for days. And I'll just assume, Holy Spirit, that's from you. And he did. And boy, did I struggle with it. Oh, and it went, oh, yes, there it is. And I got up in the morning at that time, and it was easy, easy. No, I fought it. It was tough. But before long, it wasn't quite as tough. And before long, it wasn't quite as tough. And before long, and the Lord's allowed me to do that now for many, many years. And Becky will tell you, I rise early and have the time with the Lord. The same thing is true here. The Lord wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? And so as we say, okay, Lord, this takes integrity. This takes commitment with character, bolstering it, and saying, I need to go out. Is it uncomfortable? Yes! It's going to be uncomfortable. You can always count on that. When I would do good, evil is present with me. So, Lord, here we go. And if my knees are shaking, don't let them hear it. If my teeth are chattering, don't let them fall out. Just, Lord, just you keep everything in line and we'll be just fine. Okay, so be happy as you go. We'll not say any more about that. Number four, when approaching the house, it is okay to enjoy wonderful conversations as a team, but be careful, please understand this, be careful not to laugh loudly or at length. Now, Brother Bray just said, be happy. Now, what's wrong with laughing? Nothing. I want you to laugh. I want you to enjoy going door-to-door soul winning. But when you turn down that driveway, we already talked about, I think, but we'll discuss it maybe again in a moment, cutting across the yard. Don't do that. So even that's, you know, they've got a pathway there that probably, as Moses walked through the Red Sea and God opened it up and they walked on dry ground, there's been 1.5 to 3 million people that walk across that front yard because the dogs, the people, whoever, they got a path, so surely they wouldn't mind if I do it. Don't do it. If you walk down the driveway, you go to the door, you finish there, you walk back up the driveway, go back down and do that. Now, here's why I put in here, don't laugh. Now, you can laugh on the street. You can have just a great time of fellowship and say, boy, did I mess that up. And Lord, please help me on the next one. Whatever, all right? Or you can laugh about the Cowboys beating the whomever or whatever else. And it's usually the other way in these days. But nonetheless, if you're laughing when you go down the sidewalk, And they already know you're coming. Doesn't happen with every neighborhood, but especially in older neighborhoods where everyone knows everyone. About the time you hit the third door, people 10 doors down know that you're coming. And they're going to assume you're either Mormon or Jehovah Witness, or you're there to sell them something. Okay? Now, if you're dressed nicely, they're probably going to figure, just don't ride your bicycle, all right? And they're going to think you're, what is it, Mormon that do the bicycles? I think it's Mormons. Or they used to anyway. But nonetheless, here's the point. If you're laughing as you go down the sidewalk, there is a good possibility or probability, if they see you or hear you doing that, they're going to assume you're laughing at their house. They're going to assume that you're laughing about the junk that's in the front yard. They're going to assume, why would they assume that? Because the devil is helping them to capture those attentions and things like that. So it's okay, I mean, have fun, smile, enjoy the conversation when you're walking down the aisle. Enjoy it. Doesn't mean you don't have to be there solemn like you're going to a funeral or something. Enjoy the conversation. But I've been with several, who going down, they'll be tickled about something. Maybe it's during a ball game or something else, unrelated to soul winning. But then you see people doing this, looking out the blinds or doing that and the curtains. And they see you laughing, and we just don't want to give the devil an opportunity. So enough about that. Let's go on. All right. Numbers 5, refrain from cutting across the yard. We've dealt with that. So let's go to number 6. Do not get sidetracked by common interest or uniqueness of their house or possessions. You are on a mission. You're there to tell them about Jesus. You're there to enjoy just sharing the gospel with them. Now, sometimes it's easy to get distracted when someone is already saved. Now, your flesh may not do that, but my flesh, if I'm going and I'm still in that first two or three houses and I meet somebody who loves God, I just want to stay in fellowship. I just want to stay. It's sweet. Isn't it neat to meet folks that you didn't know were saved and you find out they've been family members all along? We're family in Christ. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah. But if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, I'll take the time that I ought to be telling folks about Jesus to talk about, well, what did you have for cantata last year? And did you hear about this and whatever's going on? Do you know anything about the radio or what? There will be a dozen different subjects that you can just, like we would talk about here at church, and have good fellowship. But if we're not careful, we'll invest the time in fellowship instead of going out and telling folks about Jesus. Now, if you love those folks and you want to go back and have fellowship, do it. Go back. After soul winning time, another day of the week, go back and have coffee with them or have them over to your house, have coffee. But we're on a mission when we're going to tell folks about Jesus. So if you find out, just rejoice. Kind of make sure that they mean the same thing you do. And we'll talk about that, about salvation. Because they may think it's church membership or good works or whatever. But if you find out, yes, these folks love the Lord Jesus. And they go to the Spanish church over here. Or they go over there. And you know, we may not cross our T's and dot our I's the same. But they're good folks. And most likely, the vast majority of them truly know the Lord as Savior. And so say, well, I just rejoice in your salvation. And if we can ever help you, just let us know. And we're going to go on and tell somebody about Jesus then. And then dismiss yourselves politely and go on and tell the next ones about Christ. Number 6 is do not get sidetracked. Number 7. When you're in the process of giving the gospel, the residents will frequently ask unrelated questions. A polite method of not being detoured is to say something like, you know, that's a great question. If it is okay, let me address that in a few minutes, okay? And that happens semi-frequently. They'll say maybe it's about the apocalypse. Well, you know what? We see the things that are going on in the world and we've heard about the apocalypse. What actually is the apocalypse? Well, now that could have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, okay? And you can use something like that to make your way I'll try to answer that a little bit more fully in just a little bit. But I tell you what, that's a good question, and it's talking about the coming of the Lord at the end of time. But you know what? Right now, the main thing is, because at the end of the time, it's going to be too late to accept Christ then. But right now is a time that the Lord has, the door is wide open for anyone who wants to be God's child. The door is wide open. So in a question like that, you can take the question and use that question to maneuver right back into the gospel story. But if it's a question like, well, where did Cain get his wife? Okay, you had Adam, you had Eve, you had Cain, you had Abel. Cain killed Abel, so now we're back to three. Where did Cain get his wife? Okay, that's a good question. And a good way to answer that question is to say, because you're not there to answer where Cain got his wife. There's some answers to it, but that's not why you're there. And you could say, listen, friend, that's a good question. Let me put it off for just a little bit, and we'll try to answer that question if we have time. But really, the key question right now is not about who married whom and when did they marry him. It's about, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? There's only two options, either heaven or hell. And hell is just a place of contemporary confinement, because the Bible says the institutions of death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So I tell you what, that's a good question. And they may ask about, what about all the hypocrites in the church? That comes up quite a bit. Excellent question. I tell you what, let's put that off for just a little bit. When we get finished, I'll try to come back, and if you're still interested, we'll try to address that. But for right now, let's just kind of stay on track of what the Bible says. Here's how a person can know the Lord as a Savior. Now, as I was saying from Romans 3:23, and just maybe not even take a breath, if they stop you and they're insistent, I don't want to hear any more, because I know a deacon that goes out. And on Saturday night, you know where he is? He's tipping them up. Sunday morning, he's sobered up. Next Saturday night, tipping them up. How do I know? I was there with him, and I'm tipping him up. But I'm not a hypocrite. Why do I need what he has? I'm better than he is. I don't get soused. I've watched him tip, tip, tip. I take one. And that's it. That's my limit. He doesn't know his limit. You know what, friend? That's an excellent question. Excellent. Let's just finish this, though. If they're very insistent on that, and they're not going to get off of it, then stop and deal with that. And say, friend, you know what? There's good preachers, there's bad preachers. There's good deacons, there's bad deacons. There's good Sunday school teachers, there's bad Sunday school teachers. I understand your dilemma. There's good groceryman, there's bad groceryman. There's good farmers, there's bad farmers. There's good mechanics, there's bad mechanics. Just because someone's bad doesn't mean they're all bad. Just because a grocery person or a grocery chain doesn't check their expiration dates, and you go there, and boy, do they get fined and fined and fined. And they say, oh, no, we'll fix it up. And they go back, and I'll never go to another grocery store the rest of my life. No, you just go to a different grocery store. And unfortunately, you are accurate. There are those. And the truth is, I think probably a lot of those that we call them hypocrites have never really been a Christian. Never been. A person can say, I'm a Christian all day long. I can say, I'm a doctor all day long. I can say I'm a duck. That doesn't make me a doctor or a duck. It just says I said that. And there are some that aren't. Let me tell you why they are. And so you deal with it, and then as quickly as you can, help them to understand not all of them are like that. There's a lot who truly love God, and they're not like that at all, at all, at all. And you know what? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Does that mean you'll never have a thirst for it again? No, but it means God, as you grow in the Lord, will help you to grow beyond that. All right, so that's the idea. Don't get sidetracked. You're on a mission. Number seven. Let's look at number eight very quickly. Keep a record of each house visit, and we'll help you with that. We'll have a visitation card printed up. If Brother Mintz will remind me, we'll try to do that this week and have them ready so we can let you see it next time and see how it is. But what I did with the houses I did across the street is I just do H-O-L or H-O-R, house on the left, house on the right. Years ago, I sold things, insurance. And as we would go door to door sometimes when we had some extra time. And that's the way we did it. We just put house, third house on the left, fourth house on the right or whatever, so that when we went back or just directions, maybe we didn't go house to house. We didn't do that, I don't think. But when we were trying to find directions and they would put it on the map, I guess that's the way it was. They would put it on the map, fourth house on the left, green doors or whatever. And so you'll be able to do that. And that way you'll also know, when I did it going across the street, if that street address, if they were not there, I put an X. Or I put, you know, put a note on the door or something like that to know that I need to go back to those doors. And so that'll just keeping a record will help us to do that. If the person is under conviction but they're not ready to get saved, then you have a note of that. And you bring it back and you'll turn them in when you come home or come back to the church for the Wednesday night service. You'll just turn it in and we'll keep a record of that and ask you to maybe go back the next Wednesday night specifically to that house or maybe skip a week and go back the next week or maybe sometime between now and next Wednesday night. Let's say this is Wednesday, and you can go back at a different time. Maybe they'll be there, and you have the opportunity to say, listen, have you thought any more about salvation? Have you thought any more about it? And I think I told about a gentleman that his family, in fact, they just moved. Today is their last Sunday at Temple in Asheville. They're moving to Florida. And the Hendersons, is it Hendersons? Yeah, Hendersons. And their oldest son, he's a huge guy. I mean, big guy, big football player. I think he played, is it not, that's not minor league with football. What do they call it? NFL, all right. But, well, it's. I think it's before they make it to the whatever it is. But anyway, he played that kind of football. You can see how much I follow it. But nonetheless, big guy and he'd come in maybe once a year, Father's Day or something like that, would fly in, lived out of state, and would come and got to know him just a little bit. And just, he was intimidating. I mean, he was like that door. I mean, he's just a big guy. And just, he's got a big guy. And I mean, I could take him on, I'm sure. But nonetheless, no, I'm teasing. He'd go, and I, bam, you know, just big guy. And so after a number of times of getting to know him, I started to witness to him. Well, I witnessed to him as soon as I could. But I started very quickly to say, Nick, thank you. Nick, are you ready to get saved yet? Nope, not ready. And 6 months later, whenever it was, he'd come back. And, hey, Nick, how you doing? We talk a little bit. You ready to get saved? No, not yet. And he lived kind of a tough lifestyle, a rough lifestyle. And a year passed before he'd come back in. Whenever he would come, I'd make it a point to go see him. Hey, Nick, you ready to get saved? No, not yet. And I think I've told it before. So the last time he came, or not the last time he came, the next time, I said, Nick, you ready to get saved? He said, yes, I am. I fell over. I said, we can take care of that. Let's go to the office. And so old Nick Henderson got saved, and we got baptized, you know. He got baptized, and I did with him. Now, I actually did a very good job of being immersed, and I didn't get too wet, but he got baptized. So keep a record so we can have that opportunity. And then lastly, if witnessing to young children, so I hope you'll pay attention to this, if witnessing to young children, primary or junior age, in door-to-door evangelism, seek to gain a parent's permission to tell them about the love of God. Okay? We live in a weird world. I don't have to have any amens on that, do I? Amen just means verily, not that you agree with the wickedness of it. But we live in a wicked world. And parents are cautious. Most are. And so if a little one comes to the door and you start witnessing to him, and daddy or mama come to the door, they're all automatically going to be defensive. So let's don't put them on the defense. Just simply say, hey, are your mom and daddy home? And again, you're going to feel strange even asking that, because it may sound to a parent like, well, they're just checking out to see if anybody's there. But normally, if young children are there, there's a parent or a guardian, someone, babysitter, is going to be there with them. But when they come now, if it's just a babysitter, probably I would suggest, unless they're an older, like the fifth grade, sixth grade, and you can begin to tell them about the children's program that we have here or the youth program that we want to have here and so forth. So as you do that, and you gain permission, then you can tell them about Jesus, and even with the parent there. But obviously what we want to do is see if the parent's there and then witness to the parents. But if the children are there, try to get the parents' permission and then invite them. If they say, no, I'd rather you not, well, just tell them, listen, we have some great, great folks that work with the children, and we're expanding it, we hope before too long, to build a children's playground out of here and just a number of things. We have children's meetings on Wednesday night and just different things like that. And so we want them to be a part of it, and we'd love for you to come. Okay, all right, we have just a few minutes left, and so any questions about what we've gone over tonight? Yes, sir. Very good. Very good. A tux would be really good. No, not really. I would say if you're going door-to-door soul winning, probably something like Brother Chris has on. This twice tonight, didn't it? All right, he's going to leave paranoid, all right? Or Brother Josh. In other words, probably dress casual. Does that make sense? Not like you're... I would not wear a shirt and tie normally speaking. And again, some of it has to do with the neighborhood you're in. But generally, dress casual. It just means you're in a nice, like Brother Josh, would you model that? No, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But maybe a polo shirt. I think it'd be called a polo shirt or something like that. And ladies, just a nice dress of like what you're maybe wearing tonight. And something like that that's not like you'd go out and work in the garden or go to a ball game, that kind of a thing. Most of us wouldn't wear that to church. We're here to worship the Lord, aren't we? And if all we have are dungarees, the old-fashioned bib overall, if that's all a person has, then we want them to come and get to know the Lord. Amen? But if we have better than that, then we need to come and offer not only our hearts to the Lord, but come in a way to which we're ready to worship. And that's why we come. So that's an excellent question. So I would say like on a Wednesday night or a Saturday morning or any time that you go out, Thursday evening, dress casual, male or female. And obviously females, I probably don't need to say it, but just please be modest. Please be modest in the tightness. And I'm not going to go into a lot of, and we're all mainly older folks here, but not just in the tightness, but in the not letting, how do I do that gently, but being careful with, there's no easy way to, well, I've already stepped in it, haven't I? Thanks a lot, brother. But cleavage and that kind of a thing, I think everyone knows what that is that needs to know. So that nothing's distracting. Nothing's distracting. Doesn't mean you have to have a gunny sack over your head and not have any makeup on and ladies, fellas, no makeup. So anyway, good question, but dress casual, just about like you are tonight, maybe not quite as with the suit and tie, but in a good way. Does that answer it without, I don't want to get any deeper or I'll be in deep trouble then. All right, not really. So let's go to a couple of things and talk about leading someone to Christ. Okay, all right, let's see, who can I have as victim number one? Let's see. All right, let's see. Everybody is saying, please, no. All right, okay. In that case, I'm going to look right over here, and I'm going to see if Brother Larry will help me. Brother Larry, where's the Larry? Is Larry, there's a... Oh, there he is. He's over there. All right, Brother Larry, will you help me with this? All right. That's good. Let me do this. All right. So, Brother Larry, would you mind maybe sitting down on the third row there? And I just took my mic off of mute. I think that should... Are we on okay? Are we not on? Is that Brother Danny?
You're on mute.
You're on mute.
Okay, how about now?
Still on mute.
How about if it's not on? All right, we want to make sure we're on because we don't want to lose our live stream, folks. I'm sorry about that. Yep, I just turned it off. Okay, sorry, folks. Okay, did that make a difference?
Yeah.
It is on. Okay, all right, good, good, good. Okay, so here we have Brother Larry, who has kindly volunteered. All right. All right, and of course I have the clothing on for a Sunday night service. But let's say that, let's see. Brother Josh, could I borrow you? Would you go with me? All right. He's going to be my soul-winning partner. Make sure you don't laugh when you're coming this way. I'm teasing. All right. Okay. All right. So he and I are just going door to door. And so in this occasion, I'll be the one who does the speaking unless you want to.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
I need to learn here.
I do too. I'm still learning. All right. So he and I are going to go together, and he's going to be praying for me. And it's not just a formality, because we don't know of whom we're going to speak. It may be someone whose loved one just passed away. It may be someone who's just committed a crime. It may be someone who's the sweetest little grandma that this earth has ever known, and yet she's ill-prepared for eternity. You just don't know. And so what his job is to go before the Lord and say, Lord, Brother Bray needs your help. And tonight he's going to be dealing with a rascal named Larry. And but seriously, Lord, we don't know with whom we're going to speak. And so, Lord, please be with Brother Bray. And as he is, there may be something he sees that's going on. Maybe it's the phone's ringing. It will. Or the TV's on, you know, in 400 decibels. Or whatever it is that's going on, and if it's something that he can take care of, he can pray about it. Say, Lord, if something comes up, give me the wisdom of knowing how to take care of it. It may be the dog, okay? Instead of the dog biting me, okay, Josh takes care of that. And whatever it is, all right? But seriously, it may be a dog or whatever, and he can play with the dog, he can pet the dog, so it's not a distraction, and that kind of a thing, all right? So, we're going to go up and knock on the door. We're walking down the sidewalk. We're knocking on the door. And so Larry is there at the house, and he comes to the door. He's there. All right. So the first thing I want to do is introduce who we are and why we're there.
Who are you?
I'm with him. Who are you? The way he says that, I don't know who I am. All right. I should have chosen. Who can I? You guys are all the same in here. I should have got Brother. All right. So I'll introduce myself, and I'll say, my name is Randy Bray. This is Josh, and we're from Calvary Baptist Church. Aren't you glad I didn't say temple? We're from Calvary Baptist Church on Hayward Road. We're just going, we're in the neighborhood meeting some neighbors, if we're right in this here. And for me, I would say I'm the new pastor here. But you can say I've been a member of Calvary for a while, and we're just out meeting the neighbors. I don't think I've ever met you. And what is your name, sir?
I'm Larry Ogle. I was at church last week.
He's going to make this difficult.
He's going to make it difficult. All right. I would love to deal with that. All right. He's enjoying this too much. All right. So here we are. So I've introduced myself. I've introduced Josh. I've immediately told him that we're from Calvary Baptist Church. We're not Mormons. We're not Jehovah's Witness. I don't have to tell him what we're not. I just tell him what we are. And then I follow that up with, let me ask you a question. We would love to invite you to come to Calvary Baptist. We're right around the corner here on Haywood Street, the one that has the sign that with poles that go north and then go south at the same time. And we're just around the corner from you. And just wondered, do you have any church in particular you go to on a regular basis?
Calvary Baptist Church, right down the street.
Miss Kim, I'm going to pray for you in a way I never have done before. All right. She is a missionary, I'll tell you.
No, I don't go to church.
You don't go to church. All right. Well, man, we would just love to death.
Watch that dog.
We would love to have you come and visit with us at Temple. Now, the truth of the matter is he's cutting up, but there's a lot of things like that will come up.
You said Temple, it's Calvary.
Oh, did you say Temple?
I didn't say Temple.
I
said I don't go.
Did I say temple?
I just heard one of them tell me that.
Yes.
Slipped right out.
That's because he would know where Calvary is based on Temple. It's down the road, about 20 miles. All right. All right. So, where was I? All right. So, we were here. Let me ask you a question. Okay. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever been to church here before. And he's told us, let's say that he doesn't go to church. All right. No, I don't go anywhere in a regular basis. Well, listen, we would love to have you come. From time to time, we'll have special meetings for the men. We'll do this and just the different things. We have a neat fellowship of the guys. And if your wife with couples and a lot of different things going on. So we're just right around the corner. We'd love to have you come. And any way in the world we can ever help you, we'd just be delighted to do it. Now, let me pause for a second. Sometimes when it's kind of an odd or a strange or whatever, you can pause and make a positive statement. And again, you don't want to manipulate. You're not there as a salesman or sales lady. But if it looks like there's consternation there, we don't know, or just not confusion, just, I don't know that I want to even listen to this at all, or whatever. We don't know what's in the background, okay? And let's say that you did notice a flower garden. And I happen to, my wife and I love flowers. And we've got a lot to do on our property. We're hopefully tomorrow going to do some tilling in the flower gardens and try to get them dug up not dug up, but the ones that are there are going to leave, but plant some more flowers and all. But nonetheless, let's say that you notice that something's not clicking and you don't want to just go like a salesman and I want you to buy this pair of shoes, the best pair of shoes you've ever worn, and you wear a size 11. Well, these are size 6, but they're going to fit anyway. It's a one size fits all. It's not that at all. So if you notice that something's just not clicking to start with, you can say, you know what? I just noticed as I came up that beautiful garden. I know that you were. I did that with some folks right here across the street. And it was after I actually finished. And I want an opportunity to go back and talk to them about the Lord because I don't think they know the Lord. It's just a lady there by herself. And as I was walking in, I said, I love your flower garden. She said, my husband works on it every day, every day. So that just gives me an opportunity to go back. Well, in this kind of a setting, let's say he loves auto mechanics and he's got a 57 Chevy in the driveway jacked up and he's working on whatever doing to it. And so I said, hey, listen, is that a 57 Chevy? Yeah, it is. Okay. And man, that's great. I'm glad you enjoy that. Well, listen, the real reason I'm here is let me ask you a question. You've already said that you don't go to church. But let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, let's say something happened and all of us were in a car together and we got killed or whatever. Are you 100%, 50%, or 10% certain that you'd go to heaven? What percentage do you think would be the percentage you'd say you're sure you'd go to heaven?
I don't know. I'm a pretty good guy.
Okay. So 50%, 70?
Yeah, probably 50-50.
Okay, 50-50. Okay. It's a good honest answer.
57.5.
All right. Rounded up to 58, all right. Well, that's an honest answer, and I appreciate that, Larry. Let me ask you a second question then. If I could show you, and I wouldn't have my full Bible here, but let's say I have a New Testament. Let's use this as a New Testament, all right? It's kind of the same size. And I need to order some Soul Winners Testaments. They're about this size. They have a lot of the verses underlined as far as leading someone to Christ. But if I could take the Bible, this is a New Testament. It's not the whole Bible, but it's the New Testament. And it's God's word for us today. If I could take about 5 minutes of your time, Larry, and show you from the Bible how you could be 100% sure that you're going to heaven, would you be interested? Now, a lot of times before I do that, or as I'm doing that, I will also do this. Is especially if they say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm this or I've joined that or I've done the other. I'll say, you know what? Everyone has a standard for what they believe. The atheist believes there's no God by the fact that, you know, his own abilities of thought, his own cognitive abilities, his own abilities of reason and logic and so forth. Everyone has a standard for what they believe. We believe the Bible. Because it's academically accurate, it's scientifically accurate, it's historically accurate. Prophetically, there was hundreds of prophecies in the Bible, and every one of them were fulfilled literally. That's why the Bible is like no other book no other standard in the world.
That's why we can put our faith in it, because it's so accurate. You study oceanography? It was accurate in the Bible before the scientists discovered it. Astronomy? It was accurate in the Bible before they discovered those specific things. So if I could take 5 minutes and show you from the Bible how you could know you're going to say, you don't have to hope it or wish it. My goodness. God makes it very simple. Would you allow me to do that? Okay.
Sure.
All right. So he does. And let's say, again, let's just say it's a man by himself or a man and his wife. And I wouldn't do it with just a lady at the door, but let's say it's a man and a wife, and say, well, would you like to do it here? Would you like to do it in the same way? Want to sit on the porch? Where would you like to do it? Won't take more than 5 minutes.
Well, you can come on in the house. I'm cleaning my guns. You can sit with me.
Well, that's all right. I've got mine with me, too. Yeah. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. All right. So we go in the house, and we sit down, and that's a perfect setting if they will allow you to do that. Now, let me pause. If you have teenagers, anybody have teenagers, young people that are growing? How many do have children that are growing into that age? All right, we have two or three that are doing that? Okay. Whenever you take teenagers out and they're going door to door, make sure that if you got two teenagers together, junior age boys and girls, whatever, and they're going door to door, do not let them go in. Okay? Tell them under no circumstances go in. We live in a wicked world. Okay, you don't know what's behind those doors. The world has changed in the last, how many years? 20, 30 years in a bad way, right? Let me go back to when I was a youth pastor in the 80s. That's been more than that. It's been, what, 30, 35 years ago. And I had at least one busload of teenagers. It may have been a couple, two or three, but I think at that time it was just one busload. And so I would drop them off, probably 30, 40 teenagers going door to door soul winning. And so I would drop a couple off here and a couple to go down that side of the street. And they would go door to door. They'd kind of keep track of each other and going door to door, door to door, door to door, door. And I had two teenagers. I didn't stress it like I have since then. I had two teenagers that went inside a house. And so when it came time for me to pick them up, I knew where all the different corners were that I told them to meet us. When you finish that block, go on to the next block. When you finish that block, I'll pick you up at the end of that block. Well, I got everybody in there. And we did a head count. We came out missing two. That's odd. Okay. Who was on the other side of the street from... Well, we figured out who wasn't there. Who was on the other side of the street? Well, we were. We didn't realize they weren't there. All right. Let's find out what street you were on. Let's go find them. So we took the bus up and down the street to make... We couldn't find them anywhere. So I took, I don't know who was with me. I don't know if it was another adult or not. But we started at the first door where they would have gone. We went door to door to door. Yeah, we had two teenagers here. They're gone. We had two teenagers here. They're gone. We had two teenagers. Next door, nobody was there. Okay. Went to the next door. No, we haven't had anybody come here. All right. Went back two doors. They were here. No one there. They've already been here. And no one's been here. We've been here the whole time. Nobody's come to our door. That means something's going on in that house. Maybe they're leading someone to Christ. Innocent. They shouldn't have gone in, but whatever. Rang the doorbell, whatever. Multiple times. I finally yelled out. I know there's two teenagers in there. If you don't come to the door now, we're knocking the door in. We're coming after him. About 5 seconds later, the door opens. I was just teasing with you. No, he wasn't. Those teenagers were scared silly. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make is this, that with children, you never send them door to door. Let me rephrase that. With teenagers, if they go door to door, that's fine. That's fine. No problem with that as long as somebody's really watching. And usually now I put an adult on the street with them as well. But I've never had that. That's only happened one time in all these years. But you just make sure that that's not happening. Okay. So when you do, and we'll finish here in just a second. When you do, and we've given him the plan of salvation, either the 4 outline plan or the 6 outline plan, or you modify it. There's some verses I modify it with me when I'm going through it. But I go through it, and then we stop. And let's say that we're sitting down. So if you want to sit down, I'll just park here. And Josh, if you want to perch with me up here, then I'll go through it again. I'll say, Brother Larry, do you see from the Bible Okay? You want to document everything according to the Bible. Do you see from the Bible, Larry, that all of us are sinners? Okay, we've just gone through Romans 3:23. Do you understand, my friend, that because we're all sinners, you don't have to teach a child how to lie. You know, you don't have to teach a child how to get mad. Why? We're sinners by nature. Because of Adam and Eve's sin. Everybody's heard of Adam and Eve, okay? Or most people have. And, okay, so do you know from the Bible then, Brother Larry, Mr. Larry, that we're all sinners and that we deserve to go to hell? Based on the Bible, God's Word, yes. But let me ask you this, Larry. Have you seen from the Bible how much God loves you? That He sent His only Son to take your place and mine too, to die for your sins. Do you understand that from the Bible? Praise the Lord, you do. Good. Then the only thing you can do to become a child of God, Mr. Larry, is to just like a little child, simple faith, not trying to pay your way, not trying to be good. If we could be good and do anything to go to heaven, Jesus sent His Son to die on the cross for no reason. All you can do to be born into God's family is just ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you. Let me ask you, Mr. Larry, you can do that right now, right here where we are, and become a child of God. Would you like to do that today? Okay. Praise the Lord. We've been praying about that a long time for you, sir. All right, that's touche. All right. So when He does that, then, and we've gone through the sinner's prayer several times now as we've been working through it, but I'm all in favor of them praying without me prompting them, if I feel like they can. If they pray and they leave out a certain ingredient and they've got their heads bowed, maybe they're on their knees and they're praying and they forget to ask Jesus in their heart. They forget to ask God to forgive them of their sins. Now, the Bible says that God knows our heart, and even if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. At the moment Larry says, I know I'm a sinner, I deserve to die and go to hell, and I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. Now, theologically, I may change my mind on this down the road, but if lightning struck right then and that individual was killed, I believe he'd go to heaven, okay? Because he's already turned his heart to God, okay? But God has us to call on Him, on the Lord Jesus, to be saved. Yes, so that it says, with the mouth, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's get away from the theological, get to the practical. And that is, Lord, I need to be saved. Now, if they leave that out, or especially if they leave out, I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. Generally, what I'll do is we're bowed, he's praying in his own words, and I'll just leave my head bowed. And I'll say, you know what, Brother Larry, why don't you go ahead and just add to that prayer, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. Because, Larry, that's why we need to be saved. We have to be saved from our sin. So you just tell the Lord you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you. I have yet to have a single individual say, "Oh, I'm not going to do that." No, they've already given their heart to Jesus. But I think repentance is necessary. Okay? Now, again, they can be repentant in their heart in the very fact that they're asking for salvation. They realize they're a sinner. I'm on my way to hell, so I've got to tell the Lord I'm a sinner. They've probably done that in their hearts already. But I think it's a good thing and a biblical thing for them to repent, just like Jesus said, just like John the Baptist said, just like several others have said in the Word of God about repentance. So, if he leaves it out, then I just, and you can look up, and you can look at him, you can put your arm on him or whatever, and just say, brother, why don't you do this? Let's just finish it out by saying, Lord, thank You, or I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. And then, once he has stopped praying, I immediately start. As soon as he finishes saying, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, if he prays it like that, immediately then I'll pray. Without telling him anything, I just say, Lord, thank You so much for letting us come, Josh and me, to come and to meet Larry today. And Lord, I believe he meant business, if indeed You do. If you think he's just checking off a list, then don't. But that's where you go back over it again and try to make sure that he knows what he's doing. But if he's genuine, or she's genuine, as best as you can tell it, then I just pray and say, Lord, What a joy to know that this gentleman accepted your son as his Savior. That means he's my brother in Christ now. I am so glad that he got saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving him like you did me years ago. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And then as soon as we look up, I'll go, praise the Lord, Brother Larry. That is phenomenal. Did you really mean it, friend?
Yeah.
I generally ask that question, okay? Because generally the answer is just like that, okay? Yes, I did. I probably did it with Josh. I don't remember. But I probably did something like that, and I'll say, praise the Lord, I believe you really meant it. And if they didn't, then it becomes obvious. Yeah, okay. And I don't know that I've ever had anybody do that. So the point is, by doing that, it gives them an immediate confirmation of what they did. Does that make sense? Okay, a lot of people really doubt their salvation. They struggle with it.
It becomes very relaxing.
It does.
In and there.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've had a number of folks, and you don't look for it. It doesn't always happen. I believe something, I may be wrong, Josh. I believe when Josh got saved, I didn't mean to use you as an illustration here, brother. But when Josh got saved, we were downstairs in the Sunday school room. First Sunday I was ever here, if I remember right. First Sunday. And after he prayed, and I think I said something, I think you really meant it or something like that. And maybe you didn't. I don't remember. I've had it said to me numerous times. Not every time, but numerous times. They'll say one of two things. I feel so clean. I've had them say that many times. Another is, I feel like there's a 1,000 pounds or 100 pounds off my shoulders. I don't tutor them to say something like that. It just happens. Why? Because of the absence of sinful nature, the presence of God's nature, the presence of the Holy Spirit in their heart. I feel so clean. I've had that said many times, and I've never told one person, do you feel clean? They just, I feel so clean. Now, other people, some people are euphoric. Oh! This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Other people who are more thoughtful, maybe they're engineers, maybe they're nurses, maybe they're people that have to think through things very carefully, very carefully. I've led scientists to the Lord. I've led different ones to the Lord, and they're not necessarily euphoric kinds of people a lot of times. They're very thoughtful. And I've had them look at me. And if I was just looking for emotion, I'd wonder not if they were saved. They didn't do it emotionally. Okay? They have taken their emotions and taken that energy and put it into cognitive processes in their academic trainings or whatever. But you can tell this person meant business by the way they prayed and by their testimony after prayer. It's obvious whether they're just checking off a list or whether they really mean it. So if they're not overtly or outwardly emotional, that's not a bad thing, okay? A lot are emotional, not euphoric and everything. It's an exaggeration. But they are just, oh, this is wonderful. I've been wanting to get saved for so long, and I've been fighting it, and I'm so glad I got that done. I'm glad I accepted the Lord as my Savior. A lot of times they'll be like that. But if they're not, don't leave there discouraged. Go back and disciple them in the Lord. And it's just a different personality that addresses it differently. Does that make sense? So praise the Lord with them. And then make sure that we get to them with discipleship material. So you follow that up. The last thing we'll go is we'll follow it up. Hey, listen, Larry, I'm so glad you accepted the Lord. Listen, would you mind? We've got some free stuff, some material that will help you to begin growing in the Lord. And it's at the church. I don't have any with me tonight. But if you don't mind, if it's to where it's door-to-door, but if you have to mail it, you can do that. But I'm going to get it to you. It won't cost you anything. It's a Bible study. It's not hard at all. And if you do you have a Bible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And glad to hear that. There's passages in the Bible. If you go to your Bible and you'll open it to the front, it tells about the different books of the Bible. And you go to that book in the Bible and you go to the page number that's in the front and you'll see a chapter and a verse, and that will help you to answer the question that's in the discipleship booklet. Okay? And would that be all right with you if we get that?
Sure.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. And so you leave with a word of prayer, And then when you bring the discipleship back, and you may want to do it then at that time, to set it up and say, listen, in fact, I think I did that with Josh, because I knew I wasn't going to be here, because I was only going to come one Sunday, and I'd never be back, is what I thought. But the Lord changed that. No amens on that. I was waiting for the old me's. Yeah, he's back. All right. But here's the point. Is I think I did with Josh, and I think it was with Brother Mills, if I remember correctly. I said, hey, listen, the thing you want to do now is to grow in the Lord. I won't be back, probably, unless they need me to fill in again. But I'll find out someone. I think I may have asked Brother Allen. It seems like I may have asked, is there anyone here that could follow him up and help him to grow in the Lord? It may have been Brother Danny. I don't remember what. Oh, was it Jesse? Okay. Yeah, I think it was, come to think of it. And I
did
think
anybody follow up with you? Do you need our discipleship materials?
Arlen did.
All right. So that takes care of that's a fast way to go through it. We'll probably go through it one more time, just in a very quick way. Has this been a help to you? Yes or no? Yeah, okay, good, good, good. If you have any questions about it, please just let me know, and I'll talk it through with you. Yes, ma'am. No, I wouldn't at the beginning, no. Okay? You want to keep it as simple and as clear, because it's the only one I'm going to use. Okay? And, yeah, they don't know that. You're right. And it may be the next time when you take the discipleship books back with you to take a gift Bible, a King James Bible back. And because if you get into what you don't want to do, I'll just jump into it very quickly. The devil is a master at deception, isn't he? If I was a devil, which I'm not, some people may think that, but if I was, I would go after the number one source of the basis of what Christians would want to believe. If I could distort the source, I could cause confusion about, well, what is truth? How do I know this is true? These all claim to be the same thing. In my opinion, and this is Bray's opinion here, I think that's why we have so many different versions that completely distort the Word of God. Okay? Some are good Bible helps and things like that. I'm not talking about study Bibles and things like that. But we believe, and without going into the history of the text, but we believe that the King James is, at this time in history, is the most accurate that goes all the way back to the time of the apostles. And there's a line that's never been out of publication since the time of the apostles and the writings. We don't have the original manuscripts, but what we do have is writings that quote the original manuscripts that are consistent, if translated as it would be in English today, are consistent with what we have. Okay, I'll just stop with that. Does that make sense? All right. So to answer your question, it's a very good question. But just like I don't want to use multiple Bibles with which to disciple someone, because that would cause confusion. But neither, when they first get saved, do I want to cause confusion about, what do you mean? I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And so then you're already on the ground of, I'm not sure I did the right thing here. Because they're talking about this Bible and that Bible. How do I know they're the right ones? What about the guys across the street that use a different ones that are just as sincere? So I would use that opportunity for a later time. I would take a King James Bible. And a lot of times folks like Larry that's not been in church, but he has a Bible. He probably has an old Bible back when it was just the King James. Okay? And so I would just for that particular time, I would just let it rest. And if they say, well, I've got a New American Standard, I've got an NIV, okay, you don't want that, all right? And that would be my reaction, you don't want that, because I believe it distorts the Word, okay? But there's something more important at that particular time, and that is they're in the kingdom of God. And let's leave it there. And then when you go back, say, I tell you what, you've got yours. I'm going to give you another one. It's not going to cost you anything. This is the Bible we use at Calvary. And it uses some English that was popular back in the 1800s. But you can look up those words really, really easy if you find a word you don't understand. If you went to somebody's plant, they'd have to explain, well, this is what an excreter is, or this is what this is, or that is. And it's kind of that way with some of the Bible English, too. And that's something you can get seated in later on without causing confusion there. Okay? Good. Good question. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Yeah.
I know we had. I had a couple in our neighborhood a few years back. One was, you're disturbing my supper.
Sure.
You know, just sort of shut the door. And
yeah.
Number two was, we were practicing Catholics.
Sure.
They brought out a rosary.
Yeah.
I mean, we were polite, but, you know.
In some ways, that's all you can do. What I would do with the first illustration is say, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. I am sorry about that. And didn't intend to do it. I tried to pick a time when I didn't think people would be eating supper. But I apologize. Please forgive me of that. And would it be okay if I come back another time? And if they say, yeah, that'd be all right. Then say, okay, we'll do that. What's a good time for you? Is earlier in the, maybe 4 o'clock or maybe 7 o'clock in the evening, when's a good time for you? Yeah, later on, better than early. Then say, okay, that's what I'll do then. But a lot of times, if they're going to say something like that, they really don't want you there. And we're not there to twist their arm. We want to leave a good opinion of God in their hands and what a Christian is. And so the next thing I would do then is I would have a little gospel track that I can hand to him, say, well, I tell you what, I understand, and that's fine. That's fine, and we'll not take your time. Would you do this? On the back is some information about the church. Tells where we are, what time. But it also has a phone number. If we can ever help you any way in the world, we'd be just delighted to do it. And would you mind if I give you this? It tells you basically what I was going to tell you anyway. So would you mind if I give it to you? And sometimes people, just to be polite or whatever reason, they'll say, oh, yeah. Okay, and so they'll take it. So that gets you off their doorstep. Sometimes they won't. If they won't, then you just say, okay, well, thank you for your time, and I hope you have a good day. I've only had one time that a person was rude after that. And it was when Becky and I went door to door down in Shelby. And that person was just, I don't know what in the world. Yeah.
Did you see the street out there?
Yeah. I thought he was asking me if I knew directions. And I said, no, I don't really know the name of that street. He said, I don't ask you, do you know what that street is out there? It's the only time in all these years that's happened. And he said, no. I said, well, yeah, I see this. Good.
Go there.
And he says, don't say a word. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, don't say a word. Now, I will tell you this, in full disclosure. No, I had the other reaction. I wanted to clean his clock because he did it in front of my wife. Yeah, see? And now we are, yeah. Then it wasn't. I mean, he was ugly. He was just ugly. And you don't do that in front of my wife. But more important than what he thinks of us is what he thinks of God. And so we gave him his wish, and we left and haven't been back. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
But it's still going on for a lot of people because we see it when we go.
Very good question.
So are we?
I'd carry a mask.
We're going to take masks, but like when we knock on the door, be sure and back up.
Yeah, I would back up just a little bit. Yeah. I would. And generally, whoever's doing the speaking, we've gone a little long here. Generally, whoever's doing the speaking needs to be like, if the door opens this way. The one doing the speaking needs to be on this side of the door. You don't want to be here. They open the door, and now you got the door in front of you. So just that simple thing. So here's what I'd suggest. If the door's here, and you're standing here, because you're going to be the one that's here, and the door opens, let's say it's an outside storm door, okay? Then step back a step as they open that door, or a screen door, or something like that. Even if it's just a screen door and they open this and it's a screen door, you can talk through the door, I would still take a step back, but I would probably start from there rather than taking a step back. Okay? Because you don't know what they want. They may not be worried about COVID at all. They may be paranoid about COVID. So just stay to where there's a good distance. And if they come to the door and say, we're careful about COVID. Well, I have a mask. Would that be better? Oh, yeah, I would appreciate that. Then you pull out the mask and you put it on the dog. And so you're good. All right. Okay? Good questions. Yep. Ms. Marla? I say, Josh, take it. Yeah. The truth is, I've never had that done before. Mean dogs will come to the door. Usually, they're going to hold the mean dog, you know. And if it's obvious, they're not doing anything about it. And that dog is just there slobbering and barking and all of that. And just say, listen, I understand. Today's not the best time. I tell you what, I'm going to leave a gospel track in the door. And if they apologize, if you do something like that, they may apologize. Say, hey, listen, let me put Roscoe up. And say, well, that would be nice. Thank you for doing that. And then you can go on from there. But if it's obvious, they're using Roscoe to get you off their porch because they don't want to fool with whoever you are, why ever you're there. And it may be that their house is close to foreclosing. And they think that's why you're there. You're dressed nicely and business casual, and they think whatever. And that's going on a lot, and it will go on a lot more probably if things keep going the way they are. So we don't know. But that's a very good question. So number one is if it's that kind of a dog. For example, I went to visit. Who did I go to visit? Mrs. Who did I go visit, honey, that had the dog? That lives in Helen's neighborhood. Miss Stiles? Is this Lottie. Lottie, is Stiles? No. Swanky. She has the cutest little... She also has a... Newfoundland. If you know anything about Newfoundlands, they're a St. Bernard on steroids. I mean, just big things, intelligent dogs. But this particular dog has about as much hair as it does height. I mean, it just, I don't know if they, you know, what they do, but it just, I mean, the little one came to the door first, and I, and I look away, and I look back, and here's this monster there. And I know she's very nice. She's going to say, come on in. I'm going to say, no, thank you. All right. But she put him up, or put her up, and we had a pleasant visit. But that's a very good question. So if the dog's slobbering and barking and all of that, in my opinion, especially a lady, you don't feel like you've got to make your way in there, okay? Leave him a gospel track and say, you know what, I'll come back another time when it's more convenient. And they'll say, no, you don't need to. Well, then you know why the dog's there. If they say, yeah, today's not a good day, you know, whatever's going on in the house, I don't have time. Then, you know, you can go back, and hopefully Roscoe won't be there. I've had that happen. As you mentioned, I'm remembering a house in Asheville that they had two big dogs, and they were in the yard without any chain or anything, and they came after me, but they just wanted to say hi. I wanted to die. You know, I thought, okay, Lord, this isn't the rapture, but I'm coming, you know, and big old things. They weren't St. Bernards, but they were big dogs. And he called him back, and then wasn't a good time. He was trying to wash his car or truck or whatever, but I did get to go back. I didn't get to lead him to Christ, but I did get to go back, and they were very nice. Yes, sir.
One last one. A lot of neighborhoods have a no solicitation sign, and they believe that includes door-to-door.
I need to get the legal ramifications on that. I think that does not include going door to door. But that's really the intent of that, is to keep people. They don't want salesmen. But we're not salesmen. We're not selling anything. We're giving it away, so to speak. The truth is, if I have two neighborhoods and one is that way and one's not, I'm going to go to the not. Because they don't already have the defenses put up. And say, hey, you're not even supposed to be here. Because a lot of people that you go to their house, that's going to be their first reaction. Listen, we're in a no soliciting. I don't want to call the police, but if you'll please. And if you you know, you're not there to win an argument and say, well, we've already seen the legalities of it. So when you tell them something like that, now you're in a debate. Okay? And that's not why we're there. So the quick answer is, if I've got two that I can go to and one is not that kind of a neighborhood, I'll go to that kind of neighborhood. Okay? If I do go to that neighborhood, then, and somebody says it, then I just say, you know what, didn't mean to offend you. Just here to invite folks to come to church, to a youth program, to whatever. We're going to have a neighborhood cookout and wanted to invite you to the cookout, which we're planning on doing as soon as we can. But if you'd rather not, then that's okay. And I appreciate it. This is a very nice neighborhood, and I understand HOAs, and that's okay. May I leave you a gospel track, and we'll be on our way. And they may be polite enough to say, yes, you can do that. And I might try two or three in a neighborhood like that, and if you get the same answer, I'd probably go to where they don't have it. And the tragic part of that is bus ministry. Because like in there's a lot of communities where they live in trailers, and those are ripe for, because a lot of times they just, and it's not anything bad about them because they live in a trailer. I've lived, a lot of my young years as a junior boy, I lived in a trailer. My parents lived in a travel trailer while I went to Bob Jones. That's how they paid for it. They sold their home, they bought a little travel trailer, lived in it for 7 years so I could go to Bob Jones. So I've lived in a trailer. But in a trailer community, there's usually a lot of children. People that have lower income, they have 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, and that's just the way it is for them. But now, a lot of the trailer courts have assigned no soliciting. And again, you have to check the legalities. My thinking is that it is legal to do it, even in that, as long as you're not selling something. But I don't want you to get locked up in the process. When I was a youth pastor, at the first church I was a youth pastor, one of the young people said he was just learning to drive. And somewhere I got it in my head that even if there's a red light, you know, for turning left, but the other is green, as long as you stop, it's like a stop, going to a stop sign. You stop, and then you can still go. I don't remember if it was Joey or who it was. And I said, oh, that's all that means. You just stop, and then you just go. Well, a police officer had a different opinion. And he pulled him over. He says, my youth pastor said, as long as you stop, you can turn left as long as the green light's going this way. And he said, would you please tell your youth pastor, if he does that, he's going to get a ticket. And I'm not going to give you a ticket this time, but you make sure I will tell him. I will. And he did, and I don't. All right. So that's the point. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Bible school, people doing the same thing.
Okay.
They're not knocking on the door, they're just leaving it on the doorknob.
Now that may be what the legalities are. That may be what it is. I don't know. I will see if I can find out about that. That's a good question. It's good. All right, any others?
Well, Pastor, you told me it'd be 5 minutes of my supper.
Oh yeah. thank you, Josh. I actually meant to say that too. And I did the other day. If you say 5 minutes, stick with it. If it's going longer than 5 minutes, you stop it and say, listen, I know that I said 5 minutes and we've answered a couple of questions. Is it okay if I finish? I can finish in about another minute and a half or whatever you think. So try to keep at that. Now, all that to say this, my wife and I are planning on going to, I always call it the Green Frog, but it's a Sweet Frog. And we're planning on going to the Sweet Frog tonight for some refreshment. If any of you guys would like to go and have some fellowship, it's open until 8 o'clock. And we don't have a lot of kids here tonight. I was going to say, any children, any young people, teenagers and below, teenagers, not teenagers, but teenagers and below, we'll pay for it. Okay, so if any of you would like to go, and maybe no one does, it's been a long day, a good day, but you want to just go home and crash or whatever, then that's fine. No problems at all. But if any of you would like to go, is there anyone that would want to go? Anyone at all wants to go with us? How about does anyone want to go as long as Nels pays for it? All right. Good, 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 good. All right. Oh, Larry's in on that. All right. All right. I guess, no, we'll do it another time then, especially when there's more kids here and where we can just have some fellowship together. Okay? All right. Happy Father's Day to you guys. And ladies, thank you for being here tonight. And we love you. And it has gone a little long. But this will pretty well finish it up. If you have any questions, though, let me know. And if any of you would like to help with the meals, especially if you want to just take that particular meal, every time you do it, it's that particular meal, let me know, and that would just be a great blessing. Otherwise, I'm glad to do it. I really am. I don't mind doing it at all, and I'll be here on Wednesday afternoons, and I can get it ready. But if you'd like to do it, just let me know. Okay? Why don't we stand together and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for your rapt attention, and I know on a Father's Day, some of you have been going from here hither to yon, and you've paid great attention tonight, and thank you for doing that. All right, let's pray. I've already prayed twice during this service. I'm going to ask my brother, would you word our prayers? We're dismissed, please.
Heavenly Father, you have been spoken, have been speaking to us. We have all these ideas, and you're behind it. And we ask, Lord, that we may apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And we may be prayerful.
Yes.
And we're going to look to you for the results.
Yes. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.